It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Our guest today, the return of Jeff Gaffner from Black Kite Cellars. Good to see you, man.
Hey, how are you?
I don't know.
Good.
Old and grumpy, as I say.
Yeah, me too.
Dan, help me with that, will you? Yeah, my arms. Thank you. Okay.
This is just an example of, there are a few people in this world who actually like to age their wines. It's a 10-year-old Semillon here.
Really?
This is a palate cleanser.
Oh, that's delicious. Jeff, give us the history of Black Kite. It's been quite a while since you've been in.
So actually the first one I'm going to talk with, I'll kind of stay in line, but or you want to circle back to it?
Let's do the history first.
Okay, so Black Kite, I was brought on in, they started their own little brand in 03, and I was brought on at the end of 04 to kind of, if you will, fine-tune who we were and what we were going. And so we started making, you know, a real branded, you know, luxury brand really in 05. And we sourced from their own vineyard at the time up in Anderson Valley. When I first visited, there were three very, very unique blocks that sit on a 12-acre parcel. And I just kind of fell in love with them immediately, and we decided to make them separately. And that kind of became the genesis of these block designate wines, along with the single, you know, if you will, overriding wine called Kite's Rest.
Okay, and it's mostly about Pinot and Chard, right?
Yeah, it's 80% Pinot, you know, 20% Chard as a brand. And then as time went on, we left the reservation, if you will, and we went down and got fruit in the Santa Lucia Highlands and, you know, both from Sobranos and Sierra Mar, and then eventually we went into Gap's Crown, which I brought a couple of those today. And I was telling Dan outside earlier, we're now developing a vineyard out in Freestone. So
cool.
Maybe a little bit of ADA going on.
And, okay, talk about this. This is how old?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dan.
This is your private brand. It's called Saxon Brown.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about it.
Saxon Brown is my life savings. literally, and so I make, you know, it's also my R&D brand. It's the wines I want to drink and want to make, so I try a lot of goofy things. A lot of the winemaking practices that I employ for some of my clients, including Black Kite, were developed with Saxon Brown. To put it bluntly, with my own money, I can take risks. If I feel kind of a responsibility not to do that with other people's money, so I can push the envelope and try different things. So I started Saxon Brown 97, so it's 27
Jeez.
Years now.
Why Saxon Brown?
It's the main female character in the book Valley of the Moon by Jack London, one of my favorite books, one of my favorite characters.
It's a great book, man.
And so when I was trying to come up with a name, I had two sons, no more children planned. I thought it would be a great name for a daughter if I ever had one. I didn't, so I named the winery after her. So this is my very expensive daughter.
And talk about this wine, Dan.
Well, Semillon is an underrated grape variety. It grows mainly in Bordeaux. It also grows in the Hunter Valley of Australia. It's a very interesting grape variety because when it's picked early, it doesn't have much of an aroma at all. Its aroma basically is sort of like lanolin or maybe a little bit like fresh figs. But what's really interesting is that this stuff really takes on a bottle bouquet. This is 10 years old, and it's being re-released now. You want to talk a little bit about what you're doing?
Yeah, so everybody thinks I'm crazy, and maybe I am. You know, people go, God, you're crazy. You make Semillon. I'm like, well, I guess I am. So to make a point, I decided to keep about 20 cases back. Because Semillon ages beautifully, but most people, especially, you know, people in the United States, don't really understand that. So I said, okay, it's my money, my company. I'm going to just do that.
This is sort of like Chardonnay in the mouth.
Yes. At very first, I thought it was a Chardonnay.
But it has a whole other different complexity on the aromatics.
And
this is sort of I told you so wine, where I re-released it. So we have restaurants that we're going to start presenting it to and some collectors and things. Because I just kind of want to be the Pied Piper Semillon. Because I just think as Dan said, I think it's an underappreciated varietal that I wish more people knew about it.
Well, yeah, and I don't know how much Semillon we've had or tasted in this room, but not much.
Probably never. Now, think about it. We have some older Semillons in our cellar, but, you know, you go back 10, 15, even 20 years with Semillon, and they really take on this richness, its body. It's fuller in body, and it's sort of like Chardonnay when it gets that old.
Why can it age so well?
It's a grape variety that when it's so young, it doesn't have much in it. I mean, just explain that.
To me, it's all about the skins of Semillon. You have to sort of kind of massage stuff out of the skins to get the flavor and the aromatics. But the other thing why it ages so well is it naturally has a really low pH. And as Dan can tell you, I mean, the lower the pH, the better wines tend to age.
Yeah.
So you're kind of starting with just a solid chemistry that will help it age. And I think that's the sort of the secret sauce in Semillon.
And there's not much Semillon available in Sonoma County, is there?
Not much in California.
No, it's almost not grown much anymore at all.
Wow.
There was some Semillon in California for a number of years back in the 40s and 50s, people using it for blends. But it's gone away pretty much. So,
I mean, the only places I know of is where people will grow it as a sort of an add-on to their Sauvignon Blanc program. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a Chardonnay right up your alley.
This is the Black Kite Gas Crown Chardonnay. Probably one of my favorite Chardonnays I've ever made. It's pretty sexy.
What year? Amazing wine. 2017.
So this is just being released now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
This is a fabulous wine.
Oh, man.
This is just simply amazing.
Now I want food.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a combination of everything. You can drink it by itself, but the more you taste it, the more you say, wait a minute, I need something to go with this. Maybe some creamy cheeses or something like that.
Oysters.
Really? Yeah, oysters.
Exactly.
Mike, oysters go down to the oyster cellar and bring us some oysters, please. Oh, that's good.
So this one says Sonoma Coast. It's from the Gaps Crown Vineyard, which is right off Petaluma Hill Boulevard. What's really interesting is that the acid in this wine is what carries it, but you don't taste it as acid. You taste it as complexity. It's like a mineral aftertaste. It's gorgeous flavors with beautiful French oak to grace that citrusy note in the mid nose.
And the finish is unbelievable.
And it's a three-clone selection, which I was telling Dan earlier. I'm a huge advocate when you can get multiple clones and co-ferment them. There's sort of a whole another gear, something mystical that happens. And this is, I think, a great example of that.
This is a great example of what Jeff has been trying to accomplish with selecting vineyards that produce unique flavors and then bringing flavors to the wine that are not necessarily seen by everyone. The winemaking has to be very intuitive. It's almost like making champagne in a certain way.
Yes. That's funny you should say that.
Really?
I just was having that conversation this morning about that.
And this is not Black Kite. This is yours.
No, this is Black Kite.
This is a Black Kite.
Oh.
It's got the Gaps Crown designation on the label.
Gotcha. And where does the name Black Kite come from?
The brand is named after a black shoulder kite, which we see in Northern California. It's the bird of prey.
Which is the bird that's on the wine bottle.
Exactly. So it's the bird of prey that we see that hovers. And when I was a kid, we used to call them angel hawks. And they would hover. And then, you know, there are very few birds of prey that actually can hover. And then, you know, a little mouse or lizard or whatever accidentally pokes its head out.
Very cool.
It's so Don Green, he loves, you know, birds of prey and especially, you know, black shoulder kites. So and because of its prevalence in Northern California, especially in Mendocino and Sonoma County, it seemed kind of a natural name for us.
Haven't we had Don on talking about this? Sounds so familiar. I don't know.
We might have had him on talking about the Green Center.
The music center.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Probably that. Yeah.
Yeah. Same guy.
The most amazing thing about this wine is that it's rich and bold in the finish, but it also finishes up fairly crisp. And the reason, partly, is the fact that this only has 13.5 alcohol. Now, other people are making wines similar to this, Jeff, but, you know, you start to see their alcohols around 14.8. And they get their richness from the alcohol. You're getting yours from time in barrel.
Yeah, and the yeast autolysis. I'm a big advocate of trying to get the yeast to break down. So we are pretty aggressive in our bottonnage, our barrel stirring, to get the yeast to autolysize. And that gives it a whole nother creaminess without the alcohol. And I'm not afraid of alcohol. Don't get me wrong.
And this is creamy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I just think it's we have more than one tool in our basket.
Right on.
Gorgeous, gorgeous flavors. And there's a little bit of this, almost a lime note in the finish. So the citrusy component does lean a little bit more. At this stage of the game, it doesn't have any bottle development.
No, so it's a baby.
When this has another 2 years, this will really explode. It's right now, it's just sort of sitting there waiting to deliver more. And right now, it's all just been closed. It just was bottled, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah, here? I mean, your homework will be to drink this tomorrow.
Basically, yeah.
I'm serious. As it
well, thank
up,
you, teacher. I shall.
I'm serious. As it opens up and goes through its evolution, you kind of, I mean, you know, winemakers will tell you this. I mean, you taste wine as they open over a day or two. It can kind of give you an idea where they're going through time. So you have homework.
That really is amazing. As a Chardonnay freak, I say, two thumbs up, sir.
We didn't kill anybody.
Wow. Jeff Gaffner is here on California Wine Country with Black Kite Cellars. I'm assuming that's a Pinot.
Yeah. It is a Pinot.
Now to the dark side. So this is it's kind of fun. I actually don't do this often. Taste the Pinot and the Chardonnay from Gap's Crown together. I mean, it's just generally the opportunity just doesn't often happen. So it's kind of fun to taste. It's, you know, same vineyard, same vintage. It's just two different varietals.
Kathy, you can take a Pinot, but I'm taking that Chardonnay.
The Gap's Crown vineyard is one of the secret weapons in this county. It's among the finest Pinot Noir vineyards. It's 80 something acres. It's pretty big.
Yeah, it's a fair.
But almost every grape that's grown on that property is right in the teeth of the Petaluma Wind Gap, and it really displays this unique personality. It's a spice component, almost a kind of a wild berry note.
Yeah, I get almost like a cherry, baked cherry pie kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what I'm getting too.
Yeah, it's like somebody said, here, let's have a cherry pie. And you're like, yeah, I think we just did.
Damn, what year?
17. So this is just coming out as well.
Oh. And as far as availability, are you guys at Bottle Barn?
We have some wines there. You're asking the winemaker, so probably the last guy you should ask.
Yeah, okay.
But they have them periodically.
And Barry Herbst, who's, we're brought to everyone by Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst.
I know these wines have on and off been there. I just don't know if they currently have them or not.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Probably tomorrow they'll order it.
I don't know where he is today. He's supposed to be
in here. Periodically. He hears it on the radio. Yeah. Says, wait a minute.
So like I said, I'm the winemaker. When I get in the bottle, I turn my back and go look at the next wine.
So how many different Pinots are you guys making?
Oh, God, let's see. We do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... Yeah, 8 different Pinots.
Wow.
And 2 different Chards.
And what makes the Pinots different or, you know, stand out from each other?
For me, why all Pinot winemakers love Pinot Noir, or if they don't, they should, is it's one of those varietals that can tell you where it came from. Not every varietal can do as good a job. You know, when we think of all the things we consume in our life and all that, there's something magical about wine where it can tell you who made it, what year it was made, and where it came from.
Yeah.
I think Pinot is sort of the crescendo of that, and so that's why Pinot makers like it. So from a winemaking protocols, we taste through these wines, all these Pinots, the winemaking and the cooperage and everything is identical. Really what you're tasting is the site signature, the sense of place.
I like that, Dan.
I think the most important part about this is that when the wines are young, they're really fun to try side by side, even if you only did two of them at a time, even maybe three. You can sense.
If it's a weekend for.
Yeah, that's what's a weekend for. Three bottles of Pinot, open them all at the same time.
Amen.
You know, they're fun because you can try, you go back and forth as they get more air in the glass, and you see them all different. They display different characteristics. They're subtle characteristics when the wines are really young, and then they will diverge a little bit, and then at some point they start to come back toward each other. So there's a nice harmony. And when you get to a Pinot Noir at about 8 years, I would guess, is about where you want to start to think about drinking them.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
If you go any further than 8, you're going to start to lose some fruit. And that's the last thing you want to do from Pinot Noir.
But I don't want to go to 8.
Yeah. I always jokingly say, what are you saving them for? I'll make more.
Yeah, I call them Dan Lay It Down Burger, but
I still have a couple of bottles of your 15. I love the 15s. There's some great wine.
No, okay. This is a 17.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
You know, putting it in the, whatchamacallit?
The cellar.
No, not the cellar. The
decanter.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I would definitely.
I always forget the name of that thing.
I would decant every one of these Pinots because they
do. A couple hours?
Well, initially, what you do is, 45 minutes initially to get the aroma. Pour a little teeny bit in a glass, swirl it, take some notes, and then wait for another 20 minutes or half an hour in the decanter, and then see, and watch it as it evolves. It's really fascinating to see how these things really change.
Yeah.
And what's really nice is that the fruit changes as well as the complexity levels. The complexity of the Gap's Crown Vineyard is one of the most complex vineyards in Pinot Noir that I have ever seen. And I've seen a lot of Russian River Valley stuff. Center part, you know, middle reach of Russian River Valley. Great region, but never more complex than what Gap's Crown delivers out of the Petaluma Gap. That, to me, is one of the touchstones of great Pinot Noir in this county.
Wow.
I agree. I think the wind signature, I mean, I'm a huge fan of wind signatures anyway. When I get a chance to pay attention to it, I do, because of that skin thickening that we get from the wind. And I just, so, yeah.
Wow.
And by the way, this is not going to be cheap wine, incidentally, but if ever there was a time to spend the money, this is the stuff. This is the stuff. This really hits all the right bells and whistles.
It's blackkitecellars.com. The Sonoma County Home and Garden Show comes to the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds March 20th through the 22nd. Plenty of exhibits, seminars, and resources on site to help guide you with your next home project. Prizes and giveaways galore. It's a great event, an annual event. Tickets are just $8. Kids 12 and under are free. If you're not shopping at Bottle Barn, you're missing out on the best deals, not only on wine, but every kind of beer and spirits. Check out their craft beer section. Wow. And remember, Bottle Barn can ship wine to most states. Go to BottleBarn.com for details and all the great specials every week. California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn, Dan Berger, and, of course, Jeff Gaffner from Black Kite Cellars. Okay, this is a very young Pinot.
Oh, my God. It's so young. This wine needs at least 10 years, but I don't say that lightly.
Really?
Well,
let's tell them what it is. It's called
Redwood's Edge. It's a 2017 single vineyard Pinot Noir from Anderson Valley up in Mendocino. Now, the thing about this vineyard is that it's a cold region, but it's also north-facing, which means really cold. And the acid in this makes the wine so tart. It's so backward. The aftertaste is where the secret is, because you taste the flavors, but you also want more and more and more, and it's there. It's all waiting to happen. So you decided to release this when?
In the fall.
In the fall.
It's kind of an internal funny conversation that we have, because we have three different block designates, you know, River Turn, Stony Terrace, and Redwood. And without fail, everybody else loves all the others. And then this one, being the wine geek that I am, and I know where it's going because I know the wine chemistry, I know the wine. This is always my favorite.
Even I can tell how young this is.
And it always goes to this is an amazing place. It goes someplace that other Pinot Noirs can't go. So this is the one.
Can you decant this?
Yeah, you can accelerate if you want to decant it, aerate it.
It's best to just wait 10 years?
Or decant it and aerate it.
Okay.
Or as Dan and I were talking at the break, open it up today and drink it tomorrow kind of thing. Because it'll go to this amazing place.
Wow.
It just needs time and air.
This is fascinating.
That's a fabulous word to describe this, because it's not explosive in terms of obvious flavors. The subtlety is what carries it all the way to the very aftertaste. It's got pomegranates.
Oh,
it's got cranberries. It's got it's everything that
it's
you want.
It's sticking on my finish palate.
It was almost as if this wine were made 6 weeks ago. That's how young this stuff is. I mean, it's really a baby. And the amazing thing is that the aftertaste is already so enticing that if you had a bottle open, all you'd want to do is sit around and drink it. But the problem is you have to swirl and swirl and swirl for about 2 hours before you start to see the evolution. This is a fabulous wine. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
Even I can tell.
It's pretty exciting. I love
so
this.
Young,
this is my favorite wine. Probably
really?
In 2017, and I make a lot of wine for myself and other people. This is probably my favorite Pinot Noir in all of 2017.
Wow.
Only because I know, I mean, I like you said, Dan, I actually played with it. When I was doing tasting notes for the owners, I actually played with this wine for probably close to an hour and a half in my glass. I was like, oh, and I actually, Tracy, my significant other, I go, she almost goes, I think you're going to cry. She goes, you were like, so she was, I had this look on my face. It was like,
it's like you had a Ouija board, you know, and you could see the future.
It was. It's so one of those wines you strive to make as a winemaker.
This is going to grow even tomorrow?
It'll get, yeah. It's going to a whole nother place.
Kathy, take this and try that.
She's going to fight me for it.
Oh, sorry, man. Taste it tomorrow. I'm not a lay-it-down guy. But,
no, most people aren't.
Right.
Most people don't have the patience for it, and I understand that completely. But there's something special about that. So.
That is unbelievable. It's Jeff Gaffner from Black Kite Cellars.
And then the next wine, which is fun to taste side-by-side, is Kite's Rest. And so the significance of this is the wine you had before constitutes basically one-third of this wine. So it's kind of fun to we had the component before we have the blend.
Now, what are you going to see here?
Now this wine, might be Dan's favorite.
This is my favorite of his current releases because this one has a third of this wine in it. It has the Kite's the Redwood's Edge is in the wine.
Oh, really?
But this is got some other things going on. So,
but this is a Pinot.
This
yes.
is oh, but this, it's this one is the one you want to drink while you're waiting
blend,
for the other
right?
one.
It's and again, 17?
2017, yes.
Okay.
When you taste this, you'll realize what's going on.
This has the two other blocks, the Stony Terrace and
this
the Redwood's Edge.
This one has got more succulence. It's more rich. It's got more opulence. It's got a little bit more personality of a fruit aroma, and it's got an aftertaste that's succulent. Now, where the Redwood's Edge doesn't have the word succulent in its makeup because of the acid, the acid is where that wine is age. This one has got a little bit better structure for consuming it earlier, and this one is just delicious wine. Interesting is it's still a very young wine, and this is what is it, 16?
16, yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's a year older than the other 17s, but it's already showing a little bit of that that youthfulness that is still hanging on and still trying to carry the wine with its aromatics. So right now the fleshiness is not quite there yet, but so you're sort of in. Your acids and pHs are really in good shape. This was a fabulous wine. It needs another about 3 to 4 years before it ever begins to show the Pinot Noir character.
Thanks. Yeah, well, as you and I have spoken many times over acid and pH. Mm-hmm. Dan and I have had a lot of acid conversations.
Oh, I'm sure. I had many in college, but
yes.
It had nothing to do with you guys.
I think we're both in the same camp about that. I gave you the straight line.
And so, thank you.
And so, and we've talked about it. And I look for sites where it can do that, and I think that's really what
This is a beautifully structured wine. It's got great
And this is ready now?
It is absolutely ready now. But you get more if you decant it. If you put this in a decanter for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, it would explode.
All right.
And it's a 16, so it's already got a little teeny bit of age on it, but it's not it's not reaching that point of any of the maturity characteristics is not in there yet.
I want to talk about the beverage people. The beverage people in Santa Rosa since 1980, the fermentation headquarters. They will teach you how to brew beer, make wine, make cider.
Make vinegar.
Kombucha and kefir, and vinegar and cheese, and they'll teach you how to brine olives. And these people are so amazing.
I ended up buying a champagne recorker from them for like $15 or something. It's fabulous. It saves my champagne bottle. Open a bottle of champagne, you have two glasses of it. You say, "Gee, I'd love to save all the bubbles in here."
You don't want to throw it out.
No, you don't want to throw it out. So you just get the champagne recorker for $15, and you're done. And you just put the steel crown cap on the back, and you're back in business.
It's amazing
what they've done. I didn't know you could do that. I usually finish the bottle.
Sonoma County's fermentation headquarters since 1980. You can go to TheBeveragePeople.com. Better yet, go in the store, talk to them. They've got all sorts of stuff going on. You can learn about fermented food. I love the olive situation, you know.
Yeah, if that's anybody's so cool. got an olive tree, don't
go,
let that
yeah,
ruin
go to
your
them.
Lawn.
Yeah.
Go harvest those things and make actual olive, real edible olives out of that. It's easy to do. It's fun to do, and they have all the expertise to do it.
Well, they do. California Wine Country with Dan Berger. And our guest today, Jeff Gaffner from Black Kite Cellars. Always a pleasure to see you, sir. You are an amazing winemaker.
You're
are we
too kind.
Are we tasting anything else?
I think we got to the end.
Six okay. wines. One thing I did want to say is that Black Kite is not a brand a lot of people have heard of. It's been in the business for several years. They're making fabulous wines, truly magnificent wines. In fact, some of the best Pinot Noirs in California. But it's under the radar partially as a result of the fact that the base of operations is in Anderson Valley. And it's not easy to visit, but it's worth the visit. And it's definitely a great opportunity for people who have never had an opportunity to try the Black Kite wines. These are really exceptional Pinot Noirs.
And again, Jeff, best way to taste all these?
Buy them.
I'll drink to that.
You could, if you wanted to visit Black Kite Cellars, go there. We have, you know, we have a tasting room set up at Grand Cru.
Yeah, Grand Cru, right? Yeah.
Make an appointment, and we'll make sure somebody with a smile meets you.
You all have smiles. Look at his smile right now.
I've been drinking wine for an hour.
Well, these are amazing wines. Jeff Gaffner, thank you so much, man.
Thank you guys very much. It's
great stuff.
It's like bragging about your kids. It's not that hard.